he sat me down and had a really serious conversation about this, and he tried to describe what it was like when he was caring for his mum and how hard that was and how hard it was to make all of those decisions and all that sort of thing. And he quite clearly said to me, if you don't want this in your life, I will understand that.
You're listening to All The Best. I'm Ash Berdebez. This week, we're devoting the episode to a love story. A young love story. But even though our protagonists are young, they're facing something that people normally end up going through when they're in their 80s. We usually think of dementia as something that happens to people who have lived their main life and are now living this second, slower life. They've already achieved their goals. Maybe they travelled the world, ran their own business, found a partner, started a family, and retired to spend some time with the grandkids. It's the closing chapter. September is Dementia Awareness Month, so we're shining a light on younger onset dementia, which affects 25,000 Australians right in the prime of their lives. Kayleen Bell has been visiting Gary and Mandy since 2014, and today she gets to tell their story.
I've never regretted the decision. I suppose it's difficult to understand the full impact of those sorts of things until you live through them and experience them.
This is Mandy Lovell. She's talking about a very difficult decision she had to make many years ago, just before her 30th birthday. She knew the decision would have a huge impact on her life. It was about her partner, Gary.
Gary and I met at sort of a counselling service because Gary was the primary carer for his mother at the time and he was finding that pretty difficult. His mother had dementia. So he came along to the service where I was working and I was the person who was doing the intake. So I remember going to open the door and I opened the door and the sun was kind of shining in from behind him and he just looked beautiful. I remember this beautiful man at the door with lovely blue eyes and a really gorgeous smile with dimples.
Mandy and Gary fell in love. He would sing her love songs, they'd go for long bushwalks with their dogs and catch up with friends for dinner. They adored each other. In 2001, after they'd been dating for about a year, they got some news that could change everything.
It's quite a bit of a process to have the gene testing. So they provide you with lots of counselling support right through that process. But on the day of the result, we both went to the hospital to find out the news, and it was sort of delivered quite clinically. He had a 50-50 chance of having the gene or not, and unfortunately he carried the gene that would mean that he would develop Alzheimer's disease. This is the type of dementia that runs in Gary's family.
Gary was 37 at the time and Mandy was just 28.
And in the car, everything was quiet and I remember Gary saying, oh, well, I knew that was going to happen. It's quite a process sort of finding out sort of information that's going to change your life and everything. So I remember, you know, in the couple of days afterwards, he sat me down and had a really serious conversation about this and he tried to describe what it was like when he was caring for his mum and how hard that was and how hard it was to make all of those decisions and how it takes a really personal kind of deep toll on you and all that sort of thing. And he quite clearly said to me, if you don't want this in your life, I will understand that.
Don't be succeed.
No. He was quite adamant that he wanted me to try and have an understanding and be really, really clear about what it kind of all meant for us and what it would mean for us in the end.
Yeah.
Mandy knew if she stayed with Gary, she'd one day become his full-time carer.
Well, I was madly in love, so there was no question, really.
So 3 years later, they got married.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes.
We bought this beautiful country property in the Yarra Valley, right up on a hilltop. We bought the house in the August and we had our wedding in the February. So we had an evening wedding, so it was a sunset wedding. And we had it on this beautiful spot above the dam where there were views right down the hill and beyond the Dandenong ranges. There were about 90 of our friends and family there. And we had a band and everything playing, and then we just kind of partied and had lots of fun with our family and friends. What did we sing? We sung lots of songs that night. That was a great night. What's that one? Moon Dance.
Well, I wanna make love to you tonight. I can't wait till the morning has come.
Gary and Mandy had been married for 6 years when he received the official diagnosis of Alzheimer's. He was only 47 then and was one of 25,000 people in Australia living with younger onset dementia. Younger onset is what you call it when you develop dementia before 65.
Are you going to check for eggs?
I first met Gary and Mandy back in 2014 when I went to visit them at their peaceful property in the Yarra Valley.
Anything?
Three.
There's three eggs. Oh.
Dementia can progress at different rates for different people. Gary's dementia is quite aggressive. In just 4 years of having it, it's clearly noticeable when we meet up.
Yeah, they're very small. So how many chickens are we looking at here, Gary?
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
People with dementia often struggle with process. So there are large cardboard signs hung around the house reminding Gary how to do simple things like make a cup of tea. But Gary's domain is the garden, so he and Mandy start by giving me a tour of the chook house.
Come on down here. So these are the two little...
What surprised me about Mandy and Gary was how much they used humour to cope.
So Gary built this chicken house based on the Sydney Opera House sort of architectural theme.
One thing dementia hasn't stolen from them was their ability to have fun, and it felt good.
They don't like the microphone, do they?
Oh, they know what you're doing.
Gary loves nature and working outdoors, and one of his most favourite places to spend time is in the huge orchard and veggie patch in their backyard. I really wanted to know how to talk to someone with dementia, so before I met with Gary, I looked at the guidelines from Alzheimer's Australia. One of their main recommendations is to make sure that you include the person.
And the very big chicken is Edna.
She's in charge. And she certainly pushes them away. Well, she's the oldest one in all of them.
What's in your veggie patch here, Gary?
Mandy?
We have carrots.
Carrots.
For Gary at that time, it meant I needed to ask short questions, and sometimes he needed Mandy's help to answer me.
What's that one?
That's an apricot.
Apricot.
Even at my first visit in 2014, he needed someone around all the time, either Mandy or a carer.
This is the everyday stuff. This is the really important stuff because it's most important to Gary. He loves being outside. He loves getting involved. He loves pottering around out here.
Who looks after the veggie patch?
We both do.
The garden is a bit of a sanctuary for Gary, a place he can go to escape the grips of the disease. You see, dementia wasn't just stealing Gary's short-term memories and ability to communicate, but it was taking away his independence.
Lately, is that I can't drive a car.
And when did you stop driving a car?
Well, when they said that you can't drive. Someone said that. I can still drive a car. But you just can't, you're not allowed to. Well, that's the main thing with annoys me about it. Then you can go somewhere with that, you can't do anything. You can't go out, you can't do anything if you haven't got a car.
Gary told me that before he got sick, he wanted to do something to help other younger people with dementia. Gary's mum Jan died at 61 in an aged care home. For a decade she'd been moved around between many facilities. She was considered a problem resident at the care homes because she was younger and had more energy.
I hated what they were doing with her there. Yeah.
You used to go visit your mum and see her locked in, right?
Yeah.
And how did that make you feel?
I get her out and take her out for a walk. So she got out. But if I wasn't there, she'd be stuck again. I'd go there every day after work. I'd go there after it. And I went as much as I could. And every time I'd take her out and take her for a walk, and she's smiling at me.
He didn't want what happened to his mum to happen to him or anyone else. So he and Mandy set up the Lovell Foundation.
So the foundation we set up in 2009, very much the goal, which was Gary's goal, and it's very much Gary's dream, was to create more and more options in terms of residential care for younger people with dementia. We've heard of aged care homes not really knowing what to do with younger people with dementia either, and younger people with dementia sort of being labelled as being problematic because they're active, because they're mobile.
And they're active.
If they're the only person within an aged care home that likes to move around a lot, likes to dance vigorously or something in the dancing groups and things like that, you know, it can become a bit of a safety issue, I think. One of the things that Gary's mum used to do was she would collect all of the walking frames and things to tidy up, and she'd put them all, you know, together in the corner and things like that. So that was seen as being a problem.
One of the biggest issues facing younger people with dementia in their families is a lack of suitable accommodation. As the disease progresses, residential care eventually becomes essential. But for the 25,000 younger people who have it, there just aren't enough suitable places to live in Australia.
There's currently one in New South Wales. It has 16 beds, not enough, clearly. So the options for younger people with dementia are, you know, very, very limited.
When Gary was less symptomatic, he and Mandy travelled overseas to look at many different care home options that maybe Australia could learn from.
We did see a facility over in the Netherlands, which was, this is fairly much the A-grade sort of facility. And the thing that we loved about it was right from the point of diagnosis with clinical services, the person was allocated a worker, an outreach worker, who worked with the family to keep the person at home as long as possible.
Mm.
That worker would engage the person in the day program so that the spouse or whatever can continue working, but the person would be well occupied in a really familiar environment. It also had a sheltered living sort of component, so that people were making that transition from living at home to living in a supported kind of environment, sort of like a hostel or something like that. And then it also had the nursing home component upstairs. So all the way along, the family were engaged with a worker and had that same consistent kind of focus. That was the gold class service.
Do you think that's feasible in Australia?
It has to be feasible.
Well, I should. Yes.
It you know, I think if it can work over there, there's no reason why it can't work here. I'm mystified by why that's not possible. And all it takes, I think, is for services to start working together and build relationships to, you know, to really be a strong backbone for families and help them, you know, along every step of the way.
It should happen now.
So before I visited them in 2014, Mandy helped Gary write a list of his dreams for a care home, but he was hopeful that he would never need to go into one.
Well, it's a place where you can do everyday things like cooking. A place with pets. A place where our families can sleep over, which would be great. A place with a big garden. That'd be great. Staff who know about younger onset dementia. A place where life is normal as possible. Just how it is now, as everyone is in the world.
In 2015, Mandy had to give up work as a psychologist to care for Gary's increasing needs, which became a 24 hours a day, 7 days a week routine, leaving Mandy exhausted. Unfortunately, despite Gary's hope to stay at home and Mandy's best efforts to keep him there, it became necessary for her to make the soul-destroying decision to place him in the only care option available, aged care. Gary became a full-time resident in a nursing home in August 2016 at the age of 54. Dementia has been a part of Mandy and Gary's relationship since the beginning, first as a possibility, then as a certainty, and finally as this reality.
We had the quilt at home. It was on our bed at home.
Oh, so lovely.
I wanted to bring in some familiar things.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So.
Earlier this year, I went back to Victoria to visit them again.
You're waking up for me so we can have some breakfast.
Mandy arrives at the nursing home at about 8 a.m. each morning to wake Gary up, and she stays with him until about 8 p.m. each night when he goes to bed.
I've got some porridge for you.
She tries to fulfil Gary's wish of making life as normal as possible for him.
Okay. You have to open your eyes, though.
Dementia can affect sleep patterns, and Gary takes a long time to wake up. Sometimes it takes an hour to an hour and a half before he's sitting up, ready for breakfast.
Good morning, Gary.
A nurse comes in to give Gary his medicine. I'm shocked at the difference in this man from when I first visited him just 3 years ago. He looks older. He doesn't recognise me. He doesn't notice me at first. It's hard to make eye contact with him. One thing that hasn't changed is he still wears his funky ripped jeans. But Mandy looks exhausted, and it's obvious she's grieving slowly.
You ready, Gary? Can you open your mouth, please? That's good. Good man. Okay.
It's all there. It's all
Oh, good man. Okay.
Mandy prefers to feed Gary his meals in his room rather than the noisy dining room. This lets her make it their special time as they sit side by side on the bed.
Well done. Thank you very much. Now you can continue your breakfast.
She pays for meals 3 times a day so she can eat with him. It's one way that they can still connect as husband and wife.
Some porridge, we're going to have some toast. Hey, some more toast. We'll give the crust to the dog. What do you reckon? If we can get the jam open, huh? If I can open the jam.
Mandy brings Gary's little Cocker Spaniel Cookie in nearly every day to see him. And when he finally notices her, he's obviously happy to see her. This is one of Gary's dreams that Mandy can make happen for him.
Little dog of yours, she wants something to eat, doesn't she?
The dog.
That's
there. Jeez, what a happening.
Thank you. Thanks for the big hug. Hey, I love your hugs. I love your hugs.
Sometimes Gary surprises Mandy with a moment of affection. Occasionally it's a moment of recognition, like when he recently called her Mandy for the first time in a year.
I love those moments. They're the moments that I live for. That's why I'm here, and they're the great bits that I absolutely live for.
Mandy chooses to be with Gary all day to take care of him and keep him company. When he knew that he was going to get dementia, his biggest fear was being left alone and forgotten.
Still so sad to see. Looking at a man who's not old here. You're not old, are you, Gary? You're a young man.
And the staff.
And the staff. You're young at the staff.
Dear. That's pretty priceless, Mandy.
It helps if there's other people around coming with you too, doesn't it?
It's heartbreaking for Mandy to watch the person she adores slowly disappear a little more each day. Most days are very tough, but some are just scary.
We had a bit of a scare last month where Gary stopped eating. Grave concerns, really, too. It was quite a mystery and no one really understands why. He just wasn't interested in any food. It could take up to 2 hours to get sort of a normal meal down or even part of a meal down. You know, there are things that you can do, peg feeding and all those sorts of things. But Gary was very, very clear in his... He documented that he didn't want all of those... sort of life-saving measures. It was pretty frightening because there was just sort of a deterioration. There was weight loss and everything happened very, very quickly, and we were sort of scrambling to get some solutions for supplementary feeding with sustagen.
One of the really important things for Gary is to stimulate Gary.
This is Nadine. She's the activities coordinator.
To have him engaged as much as possible. Respect his choice if he's tired though, like we all get tired, that's the same. And as a person living with dementia, they become more tired because things have to be thought about to do, walking, eating, anything. There is a thought process and that takes a long time. So they get tired a lot easier than what you and I would.
But there's one thing Nadine and Mandy have been doing that really seems to have a huge impact on Gary. It's one of the few things that reaches deep inside him and manages to pull out glimpses of his old self from before the illness.
Music seems to be one of the favourites of everyone, a variety of different music. Music brings pleasure to you and I, again. So, of course, a person living with dementia, music is a great release. It's joyful, it's engaging, and everyone seems to smile and be happy. Music brings lots of memories. Music is delightful.
Have you seen Gary enjoy the music?
Yesterday, in fact, he was seated and he was moving his body and laughing and rolled his eyes at me at one of the songs that he didn't particularly like. And
what song was that?
Oh, I can't remember now, but I think it was a Nat King Cole or something, and he just went, oh, and just rolled his eyes. That's good too. That's good that he can express what he doesn't like and what he likes as well. That doesn't matter. And yes, he was grabbing the lady next to him wanting to dance, but the older lady didn't appreciate the dancing so much. But that's okay. So I got him dancing with me, so that was all right. But everyone wants fun in their life. So you've got to have fun. You've got to have colour. You've got to have dress-ups. You've got to have music. You've got to have fun in a challenging world.
Mandy and Gary love it when friends or family come to visit, and it really helps Mandy to have someone to talk to. Gary responds differently depending on who visits. His good mate Roger and his wife Sue come in every week. Roger and Gary have known each other for 35 years, and I saw Gary's cheeky personality come out to play while they were there.
Do another song?
What should we sing?
Well, he liked Bob Dylan, and he liked Neil Young.
Rolling Stones.
Beatles. He used to go and see local Australian bands like The Angels. Remember The Angels? Midnight Oil, Dragon.
Yeah.
The Hoodoo Gurus, the Sunny Boys. Gary used to love the Sunny Boys. And believe it or not, we saw the Easy Beats or the Stevie Wright. Stevie Wright got back for a short while. Remember the Easy Beats? And it was the best concert we ever went to, wasn't it, Gaz? We were in awe because he was such a legend. And there we were in the Dorset Pub Hotel and just singing our hearts out with Stevie Wright. It was so good. And it was the best concert I reckon we ever went to.
Roger said Gary used to write his own songs and sing them when they were living together.
So he used to sing, and your voice has got a little bit better. He's pretty good, better than me, but the lyrics were always good. The lyrics were always deep.
Oh.
Yeah, he was a deep thinker. We used to live together in Surrey Hills in Melbourne, and another guy with us, Elby, used to call him. Yeah. Anyway, Gary used to have electric guitar, and because it was a fairly quiet suburb, every now and then he'd break loose with the electric guitar and amplifier on, and it was a bit loud, so you get in trouble with the neighbours. And one guy in particular across the road was an old fuddy-duddy, so when he'd fire up the lawnmower, we'd sing a song together about this old bloke, the old bastard across the road, and play it really loud, but he couldn't hear it.
Remember that guy, the old Mr. Magoo, we used to call him?
Chris loves dancing, he always loved dancing.
Pat Benatar. Gary's signature move on the dance floor is a Pat Benatar impression.
So he's doing the shoulders. Go, Gaz, shoulders. He used to do that across the dance floor. You're on fire, Gaz.
Are we going to dance?
You're going to have a dance?
Holy heck. Yeah. It's been 3 months since I saw Gary at the aged care home. I texted Mandy the other day to ask how he was going. She said she's been playing his favourite music and that Gary's been dancing, singing and talking more. But despite these happy moments, dementia brings so many losses to a family. And for the younger person with dementia, there are many extra burdens. Families pay a high price emotionally, physically, and financially. Mandy has just sold their family home to pay for Gary's care. She hopes she can find somewhere to live close to Gary. I asked her why she wanted to share such a difficult and personal story with me.
Well, I think essentially, because Gary was so passionate about it, he really wanted to make a change. He really wanted to sort of create awareness. He wanted to create an understanding about this issue and how things, you know, with a little bit of input, life could be made so much better for younger people with dementia. So it's really about... You know, carrying on Gary's dream and trying to make it a reality.
A place with pets. A place where our families can sleep over, which would be great. A place with a big garden, that'd be great. Staff who know about younger onset dementia, a place where life is normal as possible, just how it is now, as everyone is in the world.
That story was by Kayleen Bell, with help from supervising producer Selena Shannon and additional sound design by Amy Hanley. As of June 2013, there were 1,901 people with younger onset dementia living in nursing homes in Australia. In 2015, Gary and Mandy's foundation, together with Mercy Health and Alzheimer's Australia Victoria, took a housing proposal to government. Unfortunately, their request for top-up funding was denied. Mercy Health is still committed to building an age-specific home, but it's a few years from completion. The sad reality is that for Gary, even if funding had been approved, it would have never been ready in time for him. If any of the themes in today's story raised any issues for you, you can call Beyond Blue on 1300 22 46 36 or get online support at beyondblue.org.au. All the Best is made at FBI Radio in Sydney in association with SYN and 3RRR in Melbourne. Our executive producer is Selena Shannon. Our Victorian State Coordinator is Beck Fari. Our Community Coordinator is Chloe Gillespie. Beth Gibson is our SYN Production Manager. Tegan Nichols compiles our show. And I'm your host, Ash Berdebez. Our artwork is designed by Annie Hamilton and our theme music is composed by Shining Bird. All the Best is heard across Australia on the Community Radio Network and is made possible by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter and also find our archives at allthebestradio.com. While you're at it, subscribe and leave us a review on your favourite podcast app.